The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 23, Season 6 Preview.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to, it's been a long time, but the next episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And we are here to discuss season six, and we have a couple of very special guests with us.
Yeah.
Justin and Kelly from The Walking Dead, a Walking Naked podcast.
Yay! Man, Brian, you showed me how it was done. You got the name correct after I butchered guys' name on our podcast.
I have listened to you guys for a while, and I have to stand you up there. So.
Yeah, I was like, man, I hope he screws our name up. Please screw our name up.
And then you did. And he got it in the right order and everything.
He did. That was a marvelous job. Thank you, Brian.
Okay, so this is going to be like a mini episode, not a full length marathon episode, but we wanted to talk about season six, especially after going through Fear the Walking Dead. And if you were watching or listening to that podcast, you would have heard me talk about watching the trailer about a week and a half ago and crying like a baby.
No, I completely understand that because I realize The Walking Dead for me is my Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, I see me crying in front of the television, like a little girl, like I'm at my first concert, because that's how much I love the show. So I'm totally with you, Brian. Cry like a baby. It's all right.
Yeah, and we just watched the trailer right before we got on with you guys, and I mean, we're just like cheering, you know, because we're not in the same room either. You know, I'm literally watching it on my phone, and she's listening through the Skype connection, and we're just going nuts, like, oh my gosh, this is glorious. Yeah, we cannot wait. That trailer, it's phenomenal. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I wonder if it's going to break ratings records again.
I think so.
Definitely will. Yes. Yeah,
I hope so.
17.3 million. I'm calling 17.3 million. That's my prediction, my Babe Ruth prediction.
All right. I'm going to go 17.4 million.
Oh, wow. Even bigger. I don't remember what it was last year. I think it was 16.2 or something.
It was actually 17.3.
Oh, well, I didn't realize.
I wonder where you came up with that number, Justin.
I didn't. I thought it was literally 16.2 last year, and that's why I was like, well, 17.3 sounds about right.
Well, I am going to pull a Price is Right on you, and 17.3 plus one.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Well, actually, the highest bid stands at 17.4, so you could go 17.41.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I'm going to go somewhere in between there is where my bid is going to be. So.
Okay. Right.
We were just watching The Strain too. Brian, you watch the show. This will come up again for you pretty soon. So slight spoiler alert, but you know, you might see a plus one coming soon. So I'm anxious to see who wins this bet. Ruthie, do you have a prediction as well?
No.
No, not going to go bold and be like 30 million.
No, the ratings aren't really my thing. I don't really. I mean, I was thinking about saying $1 just because I think you guys all overbid. But then I was like, no, wait, I don't really think they overbid because that's par for the course. So I was like, oh, this is why I suck at this game.
Justin and I used to do this on the air all the time. We would do these bets, and whoever lost would have to sing. On the air. Well, neither of us are singers, especially me.
Especially me.
No, you do. I think I might beat you. You did some great Vanilla Ice as you lost bets. So it was great.
It was very embarrassing singing. I think I sang the Go Ninja one. Ice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, go.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was fun.
So yeah, Justin, I'm just saying if we lose, Justin's going to come on your podcast and sing for y'all. So
yeah, you pick the song. I will record you me singing it. So,
you know, I just realized, and there may be some listeners to this podcast that aren't familiar with you guys, but this is the best Walking Dead podcast that is hosted by a mother and a son.
It's true. I mean, it narrows it down a lot, and that's basically what we were trying to do.
What's that pool again? Is it the one?
Oh, I think it's one. There's one other podcast that we know of that is a father daughter podcast.
Exactly. Father daughter.
So. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You can say parent-child podcast and broaden that pool a little bit.
No.
We're a very specific category of mother and son. We're the best in that one. We don't want to compete with them, you know. Right. They can have the father-daughter. Right. That's all them.
Okay. There is also a new podcast, actually, that is out there that is a brother-brother podcast.
Okay. See, no competition. No worries.
They can own it. They can have it. Brother-brother, you know, hemisphere. That's all them. If there's another mother and son podcast out there, we will Rick Grimes Red Machete them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah. So you guys are on Film Dispenser Network, right?
Yeah, we are. We've got a whole bunch of podcasts that we do as a group. I think there's about maybe 10 or so of us at this point, and we podcast all sorts of shows. Mr. Robot, The Walking Dead, The Strain. We did Daredevil, just a bunch of different stuff. We've got a brand new podcast that's called TV Dispenser, and it's going to be all about just the TV that we're watching on a weekly basis that we're not covering. So we both love The Leftovers, Kelly and I do.
Yes.
And so that'll be a nice, you know, outlet for us to talk leftovers without podcasting it.
Without having to exactly do a whole separate podcast, because every show that we love, we feel like we have to do a podcast for it, and there's not enough hours in the day.
No.
And you two do, I know you do The Walking Dead, you do Fear the Walking Dead, you do The Strain, you do 12 Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do? Is that it?
God, I know there's more.
Wayward Pines. We did Wayward Pines.
Oh, yeah, Wayward Pines.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we did Wayward Pines, which was kind of an experiment for us because we were like, we don't know if this is going to have a season two, but it sounded really interesting. So we did that one together.
We did an Amazing Flash podcast that was super well-received.
No, it wasn't Flash. It was Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
Flash, Daredevil, one of those
I wish
comic
I would have done
things.
Flash. Flash
Some,
is
one
amazing.
Of those comic
that show is
things.
So good. But I think that's it.
Nobody was bashing heads and there was no blood in it, so I wasn't involved.
There was a little bit of blood, but not the variety of zombies or anything. Kelly's forte is apocalyptic shows.
If it's the end of the world, I'm in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Kelly, that's exactly the same as me.
Really?
I love anything apocalyptical.
Okay, so now are you more vampire or more zombie? Which do you prefer?
I guess zombie, but
did you watch True Blood?
No.
Oh, you're probably smart on your part.
Yeah. Very, very intelligent decision. Yeah. I mean, you can watch season one and never watch True Blood again after that. Don't watch the remaining six seasons or whatever it was.
It's kind of bad.
Really bad.
Yeah. And of course, Alien Invasion and Falling Skies. Both Ruthie and I watched that, and unfortunately it kind of
until the bitter end.
I heard it was a very bitter end too.
Oh man.
Yes. It got pretty bad apparently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so disappointed. I mean, like bitterly disappointed, because that show was absolutely amazing. And it was, I mean, I used to just, you know, pine for that show kind of, you know, and wait for it, and it would be coming in the summer and I'd be like, Falling Skies.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't this season, but it was the beginning of the season prior where I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then that the whole entire rest of that season, I sat there just going, why would they do this to my favorite show? And they did not make very many improvements in season 5. So I was like, well, I hate to say this, but I'm glad you're ending.
Yeah,
that's always unfortunate. Sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I get to that famous thing that I do where I go, could I write a better episode than this?
Sometimes and, you feel like we can, for sure.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I actually sold a Star Trek story way back.
Oh, wow. So you actually have, you could say it.
Yes, we can't say it. Well, we can say it.
Or we do say it. I got paid $500. It's not like I'm...
That makes you a professional.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. Yeah, they bought the idea, but I didn't get any credit on screen. But
That stinks. But I mean, it's still a cool story, and I mean, you wrote for Star Trek. I mean, that's pretty amazing. So I mean, there's a lot of people that seems like they go through that kind of stuff with a lot of movies and whatnot. Well, they'll have like the Star Wars. I guess was it Episode 8? I can't remember where the guy got hired on. He used to be in video games. He was really big in video games. Gary Whitta. And he got hired on to write the script. And then, you know, they're like, okay, thank you. You know, see you later. You know, I don't know if they didn't like his script or not, but who knows if he'll actually get credit for it. I mean, I know that he was one of the original writers of the new Star Wars movie that he's doing, but who knows who else will know that. So,
Hollywood, man, it's a business.
Exactly.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
We should talk about The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So, where do we leave things?
Well,
we had.
Let me tell you, I just had to recap for one of my coworkers today. She's like, I can't remember the season finale from season 5. And I said, well, I'll tell you the important bit because there was not a lot of important stuff in that episode, I guess, except for the last part, which was important, I think. Anyway, I'm just completely summarizing right now. But Rick. Or what's his face? The guy, Porch Dick? That's all I can think of.
Pete.
Pete.
Pete, thank you. Pete shows up with with Michonne's katana, and he slices Reg's neck, and Reg dies, and Deanna looks up and says, do it! And Rick shoots him in the head. Pete, that is, not Reg. Shoots him in the head, and then looks up, and there's Morgan. Dun, dun, dun!
Morgan.
Yeah, which I was glad to see Morgan back. I just wasn't happy about the timing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of
bad timing.
Unfortunate, but
yeah. And of course, he comes back with Aaron and Daryl.
Right.
And they had to deal with those,
after that daring rescue.
Yeah. Those walkers with the W's
and
the wolves. So I guess we'll be probably dealing with them. First part of the season.
I imagine. I mean, the whole episode was good. Okay. I'm not going to lie, but that last bit, I think, was the most important part.
Definitely.
Well, what I'm going to be doing on Saturday, is spending my entire day, you know, just marathoning season 5 again so I can get completely caught up. Cause I'm the same way, I'm sure as you guys are, that we've usually watched the episodes at least 4 times. And so, you know, but I mean, hey, I've slept a couple of times since then. So, so
it was like 6 months ago. Give me a break.
I know it was forever ago. And, you know, we've been marking the days off on our calendar and now it's here. And so I'm just completely and totally excited. I miss Rick Grimes.
Yes, you do.
Me too.
Yes, I do.
Wait. Oh man, Brian and Ruthie gave you a too.
Well, not in the same way. Yeah. I hear Kelly talking about Rick, and I admire him, but not in that way.
I mean, I think even Justin would have to admit that, you know.
I mean, Rick Grimes is a sexy, sexy man.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. We were talking to one of our good friends and listeners. It's at Lincoln's Finger on Twitter and I believe on Facebook. And she was just like oohing and awing about Rick's, what was the early shirts that she said he would wear? The some kind of button down.
Oh, yeah. Something. The double pocket button down, I think is what she said.
She said she misses those.
And this morning, she and I just kept sending pictures back to each other back and forth on Twitter. But you guys really should follow her because she's amazing on Photoshop.
Oh, good Lord. Yes.
She puts just some really super cool things together. And if you are a fan of Rick Grimes, she posts a lot of great pictures of Rick Grimes. Nice. So, yes.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about, you were like, well, what shirt was that? And yes, that was his deputy shirt, his sheriff's deputy shirt.
Yeah.
I believe that she's talking about.
Yeah, he has a lot of great ones. He's had some pretty epic monumental shirts, and of course the scene in the at the prison where he takes his shirt off. That
really does he takes his shirt off in a scene?
He does
at the prison.
At the prison. I'm sure that's the one that Kelly has on a loop Farmer or something. Rick.
Yeah, Farmer Rick.
I don't remember him taking his shirt off at the prison.
Did you happen to notice, and I felt kind of weird because I noticed it, Ruthie, you may remember this, but somehow between season one and season five, Rick lost all of his chest hair. If you see Rick in, I think, the pilot, he's
a hairy man. Actually, he's a very hairy man.
And when he takes that shower in Remember?
Mm-hmm. That is weird that you remember that.
Well, I know.
The shower melted his hair off.
Because he's got that real curly hair. And so he had a real nappy chest hair, thing going on. But that is funny. That,
who would have guessed that we were going to talk about Rick's chest hair?
You know what?
That's for our season six preview.
That is not a surprise to me at all.
No, that's not. That's not.
Why
a surprise.
Doesn't anyone have the Twitter handle of Rick's chest hair?
I wouldn't mind having that one at all.
Somebody's probably going to be making that as we speak right now.
That's right.
One great thing about the premiere is it's written by Scott M. Gimple, although he has a writing partner this time. One of the other writers, Matthew Negrette. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the episode's called First Time Again.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like a Golden Girls episode.
It does.
Something.
It does. Because it's, it does sound like one.
Yeah, she could go really deep on Golden Girls, but we're not going to go there.
I love the Golden Girls.
Yes, you do.
Golden Girls are great.
Yeah. Well, anyway, and it's another Nicotero episode, and he's directing it. And I read a review today from, what's his name, Alex Zalbin of MTV, and he was just going on and on saying this premiere is going to blow our minds. And I just was like, oh, it's hard to wait, but soon it will be Sunday and we will be watching it.
Yeah. And luckily we're not in the double digits anymore, which, was hard to wade and wait through all of those. And I want to ask you guys this because I posed this question to Justin, on our podcast, on Fear the Walking Dead, because one of the things that they kept promising us was that this would be the most walkers that we have ever seen in The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And then in Fear the Walking Dead, we had a huge, huge herd of walkers. I kind of thought, wow, you guys, are you trying to steal their thunder? Mm-hmm. You know, right before we have the premiere episode, and, it's going to be hard to top that 2000 something herd that they had.
What I think they did is they realized, it's the sixth episode. You know, we've only had about a dozen walkers in the whole show.
I know.
We better make up for it. What do you think?
Let's do them all.
And there was a, I mentioned this actually, was it last episode, Ruthie?
I think it was the episode before.
Yeah. I read an article, and this was actually before the premiere of Fear the Walking Dead. It was with Erickson and Nicotero. And Greg Nicotero talked about the fact that in Vancouver, the walkers have to be stuntmen. They're not extras.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that made me think, that the reason why we weren't seeing so many was because they were more expensive, makes me think, if that's going to be the case for season two, they better find a different place
to relocate.
I didn't think about that because, yeah, in Georgia, the extras are, I mean, there's no union here. So nobody's unionized here. So yeah, the extras, I mean, they just get so many of them on every TV show here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because I mean, you can hire them for basically $7.50 an hour for an extra job here in
Atlanta. Okay, Justin, so how much did you make?
I made a whopping, I think, man, after taxes, it was probably like $56. As an extra. Yeah, I was rolling in the money on my extra job. So,
nice.
But yeah, I didn't even think about that with all the walkers and everything. Yeah, they better find a new place because they're going to need a whole lot more walkers. But then again, if they're going to be on a boat in season two of Fear the Walking Dead, I mean,
there's not a whole lot of room.
Yeah, not a lot of room. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Maybe not that many walkers. And I was thinking about that. And yes, the stadium. The, you know, stadium full of walkers was pretty massive. But I don't know if you guys recall the herd that the Gradom group ran into.
Yeah.
When they were on the fire truck. And it, I don't know how far, but it was like far and wide. It was, I mean, it spanned the entire TV screen width-wise and then just went on back for what seemed like forever. So I don't know if that, you know, could be considered bigger than the you know horde from the arena or whatever, but I mean it's
although it was probably likely that those were CGI.
Well, I'm sure the one from the arena was too.
Well, true.
Yeah, it was kind of like an overhead shot with that arena one. Like we didn't get like a there wasn't a whole lot of zoomed in looks during that scene. Those scenes, right? From what I can remember.
No,
there were, and I'm certain that it was CGI because how could you get like that many thousand people? But you know, just still, I guess, you know, showing it on the show or whatever is kind of the idea. And so I'm thinking, I don't know.
I was going to ask you guys, so for the, I guess not to say the new characters, because really, we really only know of one new character in season six, definitively. You know, we know that Ethan Embry's being added to the cast. So I was going to ask, like, who are you most excited about being added to the cast? I mean, he's number one for me. They just added somebody else recently, though, right?
Well, there's Corey Hawkins, who was in, what's that, the
Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, he's playing Heath, and Merritt Weaver's playing Dr. Denise Cloyd, who's another surgeon, and makes me wonder, where was she during Porch Dick's reign?
Yeah.
You know?
And I heard from... what I heard about her character was that she has all this time stayed in her house.
Yeah, that's what I heard about her character as well.
Yeah, that she just, you know, I mean, which I think is a pretty smart move. If you could do it, why not be safe?
Yeah.
No, that's very true. The other character I was thinking about, gosh, where is he at? He was on, Xander Berkeley getting added to the Walking Dead cast. That is, I'm definitely excited. Him and Ethan Embry for me, super excited. Xander Berkeley's been in like a billion TV shows, movies, all sorts of stuff. He was most recently in 12 Monkeys. So that's where we just saw him recently whenever we podcasted for that show. But I don't know what character he's going to be. And I would assume that he's going to come later probably in the back eight episodes. So we might not see him for a little bit, but I'm excited for him and Ethan Embry.
And then there's Tom Payne, I think is his name, who's playing Jesus.
Yes,
because they announced that, but I assume that's going to be second half as well.
I would think so. Have you seen him yet, Kelly, or Ruthie, mm-mm. or Brian?
I have not.
I've seen a picture, but from what now, Ruthie and I have not read the comic books, but because I practically listen to every single podcast there is about The Walking Dead, I've gleaned a few things about the comic books. So I know about his character and I've seen pictures of him, and he looks nothing like the images in the comic book.
Oh, see, no, I thought he did a pretty good, they did a good job of casting.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it could be just the one picture that they picked.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I was judging on the hair.
Well, I think there's a shot of him from the show. Like the, I don't know, some of the spoiling dead fans or something put it out there. That one,
those guys
definitely resembled his character. But I mean, if you just look at him, I was trying to send this picture to you, Kelly, really quick, because he's quite the looker. He's a very good looking dude.
Bummer. I hate when they have good looking dudes on the show.
Well, this one,
will like him.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely like him. You were so upset when Gareth died. I think that this will make you happy again whenever this guy comes onto the show.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, was she ever?
She was very hurt about that.
He was a beautiful, beautiful man. And I mean, he had eyelashes like, and his skin was so clear. It's just amazing to me what an impact he made on me. And I think he was in two episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? I am looking at his action figure right now in my podcast room. And he looks good in 6 inches too. So, you know,
you can take him anywhere you want to go.
Exactly. He can fit in my pocket. That's right. Yeah.
It was funny when I was listening to you guys and hearing you talk about Gareth, and you're kind of like, I love this man. I don't care if he eats people.
You know, and that's, it was kind of a controversial stance to take because he was kind of a douche. But
good job on the language. I don't know if that one's okay, but
I'm not sure if that one's okay. Okay, that's doable. Yeah, okay.
All the time.
Okay. Cause I really had to think douchey. That one out, but yeah, I mean, he just, he was not a nice guy, but he was a beautiful man. He was such a great actor on there too. So
those episodes are so good. I've just made it back in my rewatch, the last couple of days through those first three episodes.
Oh.
And man, those three episodes, they were glorious. Yes. I'm still upset that they didn't give Gareth a longer story arc on the show. I really felt they could have dragged that out for the first eight episodes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it would have been fantastic. But, you know, hey, at least we got three really, really awesome episodes. I think I made it to episode four. So I've got to get busy on my rewatch before Sunday night. So
when Rick is telling Gareth, you know, at the trough in that first episode, that's the one I'm going to kill you with. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, Rick Grimes, you are so bad.
Awesome.
Is my single favorite scene of The Walking Dead. By far.
I think, I don't know how they're going to handle the season six premiere, but the season five premiere just absolutely knocked my socks off. So I think they have some big shoes to fill for that. I guess if they are even thinking about topping themselves.
Right.
But I just, man, it was so, so, so impactful and emotional. And it was just like a roller coaster, but in a good way, you know. It was like, oh, and they're, And then my favorite scene is probably of the whole show is probably the hug between Carol and Daryl, because I love them as friends. And
really,
it
just
was
as
amazing.
Friends.
Yes. Just as friends.
You don't ship them?
No, I don't.
Okay. Were you
and I'm
on
firm
the,
on that.
Were you on the Beth and Daryl bandwagon?
No, not really.
Okay, so you like him to be by himself? Just
well,
him and
I mean,
squirrels.
For now, I'm not a huge shipper. I mean, I have opinions, but I'm not like pining for characters to get together. But like when they, you know, when they throw someone out there for Rick that I'm just like, what? He's supposed to be with Michonne.
Jesse.
Yeah. So
I don't get that whole thing. I don't get it.
There was a lot of heat with them. I mean, there was a lot with that kiss.
But
holy smokes.
That's all it was.
Why? Yeah. How was that even earned though? I mean,
I don't care if it was like, earned. He just wanted it.
he kind of did this like, you know, what do you call it? From the Muppets, Animal, Want Woman.
Yeah.
That was kind of like what he did. He kind of just stuck his claim on her, even with the fact that, you know, she was married to Porch Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had just been hanging out with Joe. I mean, that was. So he's doing his part.
Claimed her. Claimed.
Yeah, claimed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't like it. I was like, yes, they have, you know, sparks or whatever, but I feel like this came from out of nowhere. And I don't think that he really wanted her so much as what she represented. And I don't know. Anyway.
No, I could totally see that with their relationship. I think we talked about it last year in our podcast in the sense of it was rather quick how, you know, how soon they kind of fell for each other. But I mean, that, I guess that's real life. I mean, it happens pretty instantly, but I'm definitely, you know, I'm team Michonne. I think that they would make an awesome couple in power the zombie couple. Apocalypse. Yes, they would definitely be a power couple. Maybe one of these days we will get it. You never know. Maybe in the comic books it'll happen, and then we'll get it on the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think those two would be a perfect couple. And, you know, if Rick's going to be teamed up with somebody, it should be Michonne.
Yeah, and, you know, they could raise Coral, right? Coral!
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 I was going to say something about the Daryl and Carol. This Entertainment Weekly interview that just came out with Norman Reedus. I don't know what this means, but maybe you guys can put your collective brain power together. He says something about there's one particularly beautiful, gruesome zombie. He's got a lot of green moss on him, which I feel like we saw him in the trailer, the comic.
Yes, I think we did.
Yes, we did.
And he says, but when you see that episode, and it's in episode 6, I think that particular zombie, something happens and it harks back to a Daryl and Carol moment. I'm going to let you just guess what that could be, but there are Easter eggs in some of those zombies, so you'll see it in episode 6. You guys have any thoughts on what, I mean, I'm trying to think of Easter eggs in a zombie. Like,
Daryl and Carol moments, you know, I mean. There's that moment when they were hugging and it's like Daryl was trying to become one person with her or something. He was hugging her so tightly. It was amazing. But I don't know. I mean, it could be that. It could be when they went back to Atlanta to chase the car that had the cross on it. Or it could be when they were searching for Sophia and he gave her the rose, you know, for the Cherokee rose. Yeah. I don't know. It could be. I mean, there are a lot of moments between them. So
I'm interested. Or it could be the moment where Carol tried to get fresh with Daryl and she completely shut him or he completely shut her down. I mean, that was a funny moment in the show.
Yeah,
I'm
funny.
Excited.
Funny for you, not for her.
Yeah, it was not funny for her, but I mean, I think she got past that point. So
well, and I don't think that was necessarily sincere. I think Carol was just kind of like, I think honestly, wanna make out?
Come on. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, I think for both of them, they're characters who don't, you know, I don't really know how to function in a platonic relationship, so. It just, for them, it's, you know, it normally has to go that way, or it normally goes that way. So naturally they think that they all should go that way. And then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I think they're both kind of, and that's why I think it's just so beautiful because I'm like, not every relationship on a TV show has to be about sex or romance. It can be just about, you know, really strong feelings of, you know, kinship and bonding and caring and love and affection that don't have to lead to, you know, brown chicken, brown cow, but just, I mean, it's still amazing to see for me because I just love them the way that they are.
It's funny. The other, I guess it was maybe a month or two back. I was going back and watching season one and you see Daryl in season one versus season five. Mm-hmm. And in season one, he was a loudmouth redneck, and in season five, he says five words.
Yeah, and he's just so soft-spoken, and he seems like such, you know, a very sensitive guy now.
Yeah.
Okay, so which Daryl do you guys like better?
Oh, definitely the
season five.
I
think he was always. Introspective and always an introvert and soft, you know, soft on the inside, soft gooey center. It's just that how he grew up has shaped how he acts now. And I think at the time, at the beginning, I mean, if you remember, his brother was there. And so there was that brother dynamic between them, and his brother kind of, I guess, necessitated that kind of brash behavior. And, but I think he was always that way. He was just hiding it with his loud mouthiness because he didn't really know if he could trust these people, you know, but with his, you know, his sensitive gooey center.
And there's some really awesome on AMC. I don't know if you guys have watched the Then and Now little interviews that they've done. They've got one that with Norman Reedus. They've got one that they've done with Maggie. I watched the one with Maggie just a little bit ago. And Brian, you will cry because it's just, I mean, it's so sweet the way she likens. She said she had just found out about what zebras in the wild do with each other. And that's that they will put, you know, butt to, you know, face to tail, basically, and lean each right. other's their chins on each other's backs so that they can watch from all sides and take care of each other. And she said it looks like they're snuggling, but they're not snuggling. They're really actually, you know, being very protective of each other. And when she tells that story, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, because she said that that's the way she thinks that these characters feel mm-hmm. for each other. So I thought, oh yeah, that just makes me, you know.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
I'll cry.
I know.
I'll cry. Everything makes me cry. You know? Heck, Mr. Robot, episode 9 made me cry.
there was some sad stuff that happened in Mr. Robot.
Oh, well, man. No,
I got emotional near the end of that because it was so good.
Yeah.
You know?
It is a fantastic show.
That was amazing.
It was really good.
I love that show.
I was going to ask you guys, do you think that there's going to be anything in episode 1, the premiere, that is going to make us cry? Do we lose anybody right off the bat?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm concerned for Glenn.
In the first episode?
Yes, because we don't know if he was bitten or not in the finale. You know, he's chasing around douchey guy number 2, and I can't remember his name. Sorry.
Nicholas.
Nicholas Nick Dick, that's what he is. I was thinking there's a really funny meme and I cannot remember.
Dickolas.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, he was, you know, they were having their little tussle in the woods and he basically sicked a zombie on Glenn. And we don't know how Glenn got away, just that he did. We don't know that he got away unscathed.
Right.
We just know that he managed to limp back to Alexandria, so I'm concerned. I have to admit that I'm concerned, especially based on the small knowledge I have from the comic books.
Gotcha.
I don't know that they will go that same route, but I am concerned for his longevity.
If the casting calls that we've... I know you guys have seen the casting call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of this very important character that is, I think they call him Odin or something like that in the casting call, which has to be Negan. And of course his, entrance and what he does in that entrance. And so he's probably going to kill somebody. It could be the same character. It could be a different character, but it's probably going to be memorable. No more. Whatever it is, or whoever it is.
Yeah, I would definitely think that it's going to be memorable. I don't think that's going to happen till the finale.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I think that they have a lot more story to tell in Alexandria just with the... I mean, even though, you know, they kind of came together in the finale of season 5, I think there's still going to be quite a divide because not everybody knows Rick and his group all that well. And to see Rick blast Pete in the face, that's not going to set well with some of these people in Alexandria. And I mean, you see these trailers and teasers, and Rick's getting hot and heavy with somebody. He's not happy with somebody in Alexandria. They make it out like it's Morgan.
Right.
I definitely don't feel that it's Morgan.
I don't.
You know, I think that's just a facade.
It's a bait and switch.
Yeah. Yes. What is it? Wait, a red herring. That's what it is.
Yeah, red herring. Exactly. So. Yeah. I think they're going to get along. I think they're going to have, you know, some issues, of course. I mean, because we know that Morgan, as he told Daryl and Aaron, that every life is precious and all that kind of stuff. I think he's going to have issue with Rick just taking that guy out for accidentally killing that guy.
He didn't mean
accidentally.
To.
Accidentally.
You know, I mean,
well,
just,
well, And we don't know if he saw that. Like, ignorance of
the law is no excuse.
Right. Well, I'm anxious to see, though. I cannot wait to see Lenny James and Andrew Lincoln together.
I'm so excited. Yeah,
I know.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll cry.
As soon as you see them together, you're going to cry.
Oh, poor kid. Oh.
Predictions on how many times Brian cries in episode one.
Okay. All right.
It'll be 90 minutes of tears.
Throw that in the Walking Dead pool. That's funny.
I wonder if, you guys are doing that Walking Dead pool too, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Have you guys put yours in yet is the big question.
I have.
Nice.
I didn't know if we were. True confession time. I really had no idea what anything about this was about until you announced it on the show. And I was like, what? We're doing what? So I didn't.
I emailed you.
I didn't really know if we were doing it as a podcast team and if you had already done that or if I should go in and do my own. But I'm very bad at picking death predictions. I don't like
that was my thought. It's like you don't like to pick death predictions. So I figured, I might as well go and do it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Did you do it for us so I don't have to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Tell me.
I'm excited about it. Did you pick all of your people, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to do that.
I don't even remember who I picked. Well, I remember one person I picked. Baseball. One of the main cast I picked.
I'm going to guess Carol.
No.
Okay, then let me guess again. Maggie.
There are only so many cast members.
I know, that's why I figured if I just keep going, I'll get there eventually.
I know who you picked, Brian. You picked Abraham Ford.
You are correct.
Yes.
Yes, I picked Abraham, and I picked Tara. I picked Aaron. I'm trying to remember who else I picked.
And see, the thing about the Aaron pick, my only thing that would make me think, no, that won't happen, is just because they just added him to the main cast. Mm-hmm. So I would have thought that they would have kept him as a, you know, like a guest star or also starring. But your other two picks, I'm right on board with.
Deanna was the other one. I definitely picked her. I know I picked some other people, and I cannot remember.
When is Father Gabriel going to die?
Oh, of course I picked him. How could I forget?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys have heard any of our podcasts, you would know that both of us, and especially me, has a deep, dark hatred of Gabriel. I will take any opportunity to start a several-minute rant about Gabriel. I hate the man. He is the worst excuse for a clergyman that there's ever been, and he deserves to die. He deserved to die a very long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know about ever been, but I mean, there are some.
Okay.
We did do a whole rant podcast about him.
Yeah, we did a whole separate rant podcast about him.
Well, I'm just curious about his character because, I mean, I will agree, and I think most everybody's like, he needs to go, you know, but he didn't get killed. And so he's become, to me, like, very interesting. Like, where do they go with this storyline from here? Because I thought his story arc was kind of done. Like, I thought, Sasha, I thought it was going to be just that Sasha took him out. Like, I thought that was going to happen. And when it didn't happen, I'm like, well, what role is he going to have to play within Alexandria going forward? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think he...
Other than sowing discontention.
Well, I don't think he can do that anymore at this point. Like, I felt like he was on that that track, but... I don't know. He'll be interesting to see. I definitely think he's a goner in season 6, though. I don't think he sees past season 6, episode 8.
I think his story in season 6 begins with death.
Episode 1, death of Father Gabriel.
Cold open. He doesn't even survive that. We're up to me. By the way, you mentioned Sasha. I'm just looking at the few notes we did. Did you guys notice that Kenrick Green, who is the husband of Sonequa, Martin Green, is joining the cast as well as Scott?
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. I don't, it says Heath Supply Run Partner. I don't know. Is that a character from the comic book?
Scott?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't know either, because I'm not that
Cricket.
I'm not that far up in the comics to know that part. And I think maybe we lost Justin. Because
no, I'm here.
Oh, you just decided to not answer.
You even did a comic book read through of a few issues.
Oh my god, I forgot about those. That's how we did last summer. Those
That's right.
were the best. I mean, really, were they not just the best? Are we not amazing actors?
Actors.
It was very entertaining.
It was so lame. Oh god.
It was really bad.
It was
Yes,
yeah, it was entertaining in its corniness.
Yeah, and you felt so bad for us. It made everyone feel so much better about themselves because
that's what we're here for.
So lame.
I will say that there's an awesome podcast that I don't know if the guy's still doing it, but I think he at least got to the last time I looked, it was like issue 15. But I mean, this guy, like, he creates sound effects and does all this crazy stuff. Wow. I mean, it must take him forever. I mean, he's a pretty good voice actor. He's not great at that as much as, like, you know, somebody that's probably a professional. But with all the sound effects, it's amazing. Much, much better than us. But you might get at least a chuckle or two out of our reads, maybe.
I'd forgotten all about those. And those were every time we'd go to do those. I mean, it was like I would try to disappear for that particular podcast, and Justin be like, "Oh, come on, Mom, let's go do our read."
You're gonna love this.
Sick. Yeah,
yeah. She did get a lot of. I got a lot of coughs beforehand. That's for sure. But then she ended up loving it, even though we never went anywhere with it. Maybe we'll have to revive that during the off season, because it was a blast. It was fun. And it would be fun to get other people on there.
We should
one together.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be
multiple characters.
Way better.
Yeah, but Ruthie, you have to play. You have to play guys. Is that how we did it? I played all the females, and you played all the guys. I think that's how we ended up doing it. So it was a lot of fun.
I would love to do that. I would like to play. Person. Carl.
Yeah.
I remember because I would try to do my Shane impression, you know, and I Shane was, you know, just so distinct, and obviously I'm not going to even attempt to do it here, but yeah, those were fun. So
yes, they were a lot of fun.
You're gonna crash and burn. You should do it all the way.
Exactly.
We crashed and burned hard during those. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, I'm sure, and it wasn't as bad as you think.
I don't know about that. That's being
thank
awful
you.
Generous.
Ruthie,
thank you.
Yes, thank you, Ruthie. You are very, very kind.
Sometimes I try to be, other times not so much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say really quickly before we move on completely from new people. Justin, you asked earlier who we're excited to see, and I am also very excited to see Ethan Embry because I love him.
Yeah,
I
know. He's great.
I don't know. He's been a favorite of mine since my tender years, I guess you could say, my younger years. He was in, I think probably the first thing I ever saw him in was Empire Records.
Yes.
But then I really fell in love with him in Can't Hardly Wait, so...
I just remember him in, what was it, the last vacation movie?
Vegas Vacation.
The last Chevy Chase vacation movie.
Papa Giorgio.
Where he kept winning.
Yeah, Papa Giorgio. Yeah. Mr. Papa Giorgio. And I don't know if you guys, I'm sure, have seen the TV commercials that he's doing. And I don't know which car, and, you know, but he does it with Christy Brinkley. And I thought, well, I'm gonna look this up because I knew Christy Brinkley is older than he is. She is 60 years old. He is 37. And they play spouses on there. And I'm thinking, you go, girl, because she looks amazing. And of course,
she does.
You know, I mean, the whole idea of the, you know, the blonde in the convertible that goes by, which, of course, she, you know, was in the Vegas movies and, you know, played that part. But I thought, wow.
Yeah.
So
she's definitely kept herself together, I guess. I guess divorcing Billy Joel helped or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Poor Billy Joel.
Oh, okay. You had me confused. You're talking about Beverly D'Angelo. right?
No. I'm talking about Christie Brinkley. She was the one that came up in the red
now
convertible.
I remember. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. With Chevy Chase. Now I remember. Yes. I was like,
and in the, yeah, and in the commercial, there's a woman that is driving by in the car, and she looks just like Christie Brinkley, but it's not Christie Brinkley. He's married to Christie Brinkley in the in the car.
Maybe I have not seen these commercials.
You
I
probably
have.
Yeah. You probably haven't.
Yeah. I need to check them out then because they sound great.
So, you think the title credits, the whole, you know, stuff that they play with the theme, and I look forward to an actual theme. That you know, that 5 second thing, it was cool, but the Walking Dead theme is my ringtone.
I know.
I made the ringtone. I'm such a geek.
No, I tell you. I want people to call me because then the music plays and it's
oh, so you have it too?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
And I listen to the soundtrack over and over again, which is I'm embarrassed because I mean it's like the it's you know nothing else is in my shuffle list. It's just that soundtrack, and because the songs are so great, and it's funny how those songs will evoke emotions that you felt when you were watching. So
yeah, music is great that way.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be promoted to like the main like, you know, they'll say that people have been added to the main cast, but there's like the starring and the also starring, right, the ones that come after. Who do you think will be added to the ones that play during the credits?
Oh, wow.
Any thoughts on that? I have a prediction. I think Lenny James will be there. I mean, they have to put him in the main credits.
Yeah.
He's Lenny James.
Right. Yeah, but how many episodes is he going to be in? I think that will also determine.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I want him to be in all of them, but I don't know.
Yes. And Sinequa Martin Green. I think, you know, she was such a big presence, especially in the last, well, pretty much the whole season 5, yet she was in the also starring. So I kind of see her being promoted to that, especially now that Chadell Coleman's gone. You know, she takes the brother's position.
Yeah. And I will say that, I mean, I did have an issue with her character. You know, last season, she started wearing on my last nerve. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I when we do our predictions of death predictions, there's the ones that we think that are going to die and the ones that we kind of wish would die, you know? And, you know, I mean, Beth was one of them, you know, I was ready for her to go, but Beth. I will say, I know. And then I felt so bad when it happened. I felt guilty for, you know, it's like, it was all my bad thoughts that
for
made
speaking
this
into existence.
Exactly. but
by the way, I mentioned this last night when we recorded. Ophelia, Beth, season 2, pretty much the same, wouldn't you say?
Oh, see, I feel like Ophelia is going to be stronger.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, right now, we know absolutely nothing about her other than the fact that, you know, her parents lied to her all this time. She's like a completely open book. We know nothing about her, or should I say a blank slate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Nebula Rasa.
I mixed my metaphors.
I mean, I'm trying to think, do we know a lot about any of the characters on Fear the Walking Dead thus far?
Well, that's a good that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean Daniel, maybe the most at this point. Daniel, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
The rest of them are mystery.
Pied Piper.
Yes. Pied Piper.
Pied Piper of zombies. The zombie whisperer, as I like to call him.
Yes. That's an excellent thing to call him, because it was just kind of, that was a little goofy, but
yeah. Hopefully we won't get anything like that in the season 6 of The Walking Dead.
Over with their van off the bridge moments.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was this? I had an article. Oh man, now I've lost it. It was talking about basically that it really only whet our appetites for the zombie apocalypse Fear the Walking Dead did for season six. So I completely agree with that. Like I didn't think that, you know, honestly, I was thinking I might have a little bit overkill when it comes to The Walking Dead by the time season six came around. Cause I was like, well, we got Fear the Walking Dead. I thought we were going to have that week off, but then they did that funky thing where they took a random week off after the episode two.
And it wasn't random. Oh. It was Labor Day.
Yeah, but who cares about Labor Day? You gotta watch The Walking Dead on Labor Day weekend. Because I still think they even did like a marathon that night. I'm like, this, you know, do the marathon and then the show. But anyways, so, since it ran right into The Walking Dead, I honestly, at the first of the season, I was like, oh man, you know, I'm gonna be zombied out. But no, it just like made it where, you know, I'm just like rabid at this point and so ready to get to the premiere. 90 minutes. It's going to be, I'm going to watch.
Yeah. I expected Fear the Walking Dead to kind of like make it so that people would be less ravenous for the premiere. But if anything, I think it's made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think everybody's like just chomping at the bit, waiting for this season to start.
For real.
I think so.
You know,
I'm excited for a first time again. I'm excited to see actually what it means and everything. And the 90 minutes, not excited for those commercials, but, you know, just have to bear through them.
But we do get 1 minute of, you know, zombies on a plane.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. So
it will be great.
Did you guys watch that whole thing?
Yeah. What did you guys think?
Not much to it.
Yeah.
No. Well, you're literally not missing much of anything. I mean, it's almost like they go through a little bit of turbulence and maybe probably, a little bit honestly, more than that.
I'll probably wait until they're all out and then just watch it because just, you know, I'm like, I'm not really like salivating and, you know, just freaking out to see it. So it's kind of like,
It's not like when we had those great webisodes that we had, you know, for the first couple of seasons. Those were just so amazing. And I don't know why they quit that.
Especially the first one. Oh, it's really good.
It was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I know, Kelly, that you've got a little
early morning.
Yeah, I do have an early morning. So
anything else? Well, is there anything else we want to talk about real quick before? Anything else? Anyone?
I'm just looking forward to when we all act out the comic books next year
off-season.
So that's my, you know, now the thing that I came away from with the most from this podcast is we're gonna be a theater group.
Yes.
Yeah, here we go.
Voice theater.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Awesome. We'll have to get some Foley in here and do some sound stuff like
It sounds like sounds like Brian really will have that covered. So
yeah, with his mixing board, his soundboard is going to have all sorts of sound effects for us. That's going to be a lot of fun. For me, final thoughts. I think for me, I'm just most interested to see how Deanna handles everything. After Reg, you know, after the loss of Reg, they seem to, you know, I mean, they were obviously in love and everything, all the good stuff. And I'm really interested to see how Nick and Glenn, how that dynamic is going to work, because we've seen from the trailers, no spoilers. It's all from the trailers, which I'm sure every Walking Dead fan I would have probably have seen at least a few times. They're working together now. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to work. I don't think I could partner up with the dude that tried to kill me. So
how would you ever trust that dude?
No, not going to happen for me. No, but Glenn's a better man than I am. And that's why I love him. So
that's true. He is. He really is. He is, Justin. He's so much
man
better
crush.
Than
him, so. He is. And you're like, can I trade you in for my son?
That's funny. And that's why I think he's not going to be, because, you know, every time they get a moral compass, they just slit its throat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great.
It's true.
Very true. So,
So anyway, the first episode, of course, is 90 minutes long, which I love. I wish every episode was 90 minutes, but then we'd have 3-hour podcasts. Yeah. And supposedly the description, which I just pulled off of AMC.com, is Rick and the others have a difficult time assimilating into Alexandria. That's a shock.
Yeah, really. That, I did. Never
that sounds to. Like the last. That sounds like the last five episodes of right. last. Yeah.
Tell us something and don't know.
A new threat arises.
Dun dun dun. Mm.
Do they have W's on their heads?
Yeah, I bet they
I
do.
Think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
With that, we are very excited to bring this podcast back. And Justin, Kelly, thank you for sharing this preview with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Anytime you guys want to come back, you are welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting us. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, appreciate definitely. It. Can't wait for the read next year. So super excited about
sounds
it.
Sounds like we have some set in stone plans.
Exactly. Well, we hope you guys have a lot of fun watching the premiere on Sunday. I mean, it's going to be awesome. We all get to be, we're not all together in person.
But we are.
But in spirit.
Together.
Hashtag TWD family.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, and I'm going to try not to send you any direct messages on Twitter. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they killed.
I know. Yeah, really. Just kidding.
Yeah, because I'll be on the West Coast I guess that's mountain time for me for the first time ever. And I'll feel the pain that they all feel with all the East Coasters like myself spoiling TV shows for them. So,
yeah.
The good thing for me is that, well, me and Kelly, obviously, is that Eastern and Central air at the same time. It's like, yes. Right.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very nice. So.
Cool.
Yeah, we're all either Eastern or Central between the four of us.
Yep, indeed.
So it worked out great.
All right. So with that, that is an episode. So I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Oh, and hey, I'm Kelly.
Yeah. And I'm Justin.
and this is
the Walking Dead
Talk Through. Oh, man, that sucked.
Cares. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
No, we leave it in exactly the way it is.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.